morning, everybody. Today is Monday, February 20th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a balmy and sunny 36 degrees and spring-like here in upstate New York. I actually saw this week we're supposed to get in the 50s. So Canadian geese have already started to believe that spring is coming. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Gut Bacteria, Edible Vaccines, Titanium Dioxide, and Universal Basic Income. And the gut bacteria, edible vaccines, and titanium dioxide were all right turn that I hadn't intended to make at that time. It's some pretty interesting information. I'm going to save that for another show. There is some deep diving I want to do in regards to the plasmids, which we mentioned those the day before as well. But I wanted to continue down my vein of looking at some of the robots coming to take our jobs. Good old IBM Watson. We discussed the other day, Watson. Watson's on TV now. We have commercials showing Watson is working for H&R Block as we have a coming tax season. And Watson is also working CBS 60 Minutes featured Watson working as an oncology doctor for 20 different cancer hospitals, helping to advise oncologists about how to treat difficult or quote-unquote incurable cancers. Well, Elon Musk came out. Now, Elon, like we've said, is in the middle of a lot of different things. Elon Musk came out the other day saying, guess what, guys? I know you don't want to believe it, but universal basic income, once the robots come, take all the jobs, is going to be necessary. You know, this is something that we have discussed before. Universal basic income giving us money falling from the sky while we do nothing but eat grapes. But I've pointed out to you that there are ways that they will be able to manipulate and control us, make us docile, so we just simply follow the herd or accept our 21st century medicine. You know, the bennies are going to be out there. They're going to be giving us food, shelter, potentially clothing, health care. Who isn't going to listen if they say, look, Johnny, you eat too many Cheetos. We're going to raise your health insurance rate. And this is why you're still working, earning your money. After that, they're going to have to just tell you they're cutting you off. But for right now, they're going to say, Johnny, you're doing dangerous things that are risky. They put you in the risk pool, which means, from an insurance perspective, that you got to pay more money. You can be as risky as you want, Johnny. But if you want to do 120 miles an hour while drinking, first of all, we're going to call the police bots, boop, 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 because your little black box in the car took your breathalyzer while it was monitoring your speed. But also, we saw in your Fitbit, you haven't been very active this week. And we saw in your grocery store bonus club card that you were buying Cheetos and ice cream. That puts you in a big risk pool there, Johnny. You got 1 month to straighten out. And otherwise, we're doubling your insurance rate, or we're cutting you off. So anyway, I don't know how we got there, but this being able to feed us grapes, take care of us, and universal basic income is going to be necessary. The key is once they get rid of employment and once you are no longer independent at all, there won't be a means to support yourself. You won't be able to earn a living, except for those of us who likes to get dirt under their nails. The farmers, I'm not a farmer, but I like to be one on TV. The farmers, the gardeners, the animal raisers, the people who for a long time have been kind of going, oh, Chicken Little was right. It didn't happen as quickly as we thought it would. It's like a slow-mo train wreck that's going on right now. This year, this spring, should be the year. If you haven't started to learn to garden or get compost ready or start figuring out how you're going to eat, if it's not available in a grocery store immediately, I think this would be the year. Remember, eventually it's going to be 3D printed nutraceuticals, and they probably won't even allow us to grow anymore. Who knows? And we've been noticing over the last few years, 1 year tomatoes had a real problem. None of my tomatoes grew 2 years ago. All the leaves turned kind of black, too. It was really strange. Last year, not much grew except for peppers. My peppers went crazy, but nothing else did very well. My cucumbers didn't do too well. Squash never even came up. Pumpkins never even came up. Tomatoes, maybe I got 10. I'm lucky. I don't know. I think it was more like 7. Yeah, nothing much besides peppers did well this year. But guys, we got to start doing something. And if they control everything that is necessary for life, like food, money, shelter, clothing, everything, if they're paying for it all, it's going to be like going to mom or dad to ask for $10 to go out on a Friday night at 14 or 15. Did you go out at 15? I think I went to the movies at 15. Maybe I used $5 in allowance to go get a movie ticket. I think I actually saw E.T., if I remember that correctly. It was probably the first movie I ever got to go out to alone. And I met my friends at the movie theater in town, the little tiny dinky town. Anyway, but if they control everything, think about it. They'll be able to decide who's allowed to eat and who's allowed to not eat. And if you don't follow their rules, well, Johnny, you're going to go in the corner. You're going to be punished. And your punishment won't even necessarily have to be being stuck in a prison cell anymore. Hey, they already have been experimenting with these mind prisons where they can, I don't know if it's a drug. I'm assuming it's a drug of some kind. We talked about this a bunch of times. We read a story back a year or two ago where they could put you in a mind prison where your brain literally feels like you've been in jail for 5,000 years. And it's only been a half hour. But wow, what torture that would be. On a psychological basis, you know, and as they start probing our minds more and more and they can suck out thoughts and read dreams and remove and insert memories, how long is it going to be before, hey, they put a little skull cap on you? This is your punishment. You're going to have to fight the demons, Johnny, in your head. We're going to unleash some scary monsters on you. It's not going to be locked up in a cage for 10 years anymore. Oh, no. It's going to be psychological terror. And hey, guess what? If that still doesn't cure you, our next step could be is we need some human guinea pigs to start injecting some of this crazy stuff into them. We're going to try and look at some of that today. I don't know. I posted a lot this weekend, but I still got a bunch lined up from last. Debate where we're going. By the way, warning, it is President's Day, I believe, today. And the kids are off again, if you can even believe it. Like that Christmas break from December to February, mid-February just goes like bloop, blink of an eye. And the kids are back on vacation again. She came home on Friday. She wasn't in the door for 5 minutes and says, Mom, I think I'm going to puke. And that set the stage for the next 2 days. Yes, and it was one of those both end flus. So there's been some massive decontamination going on. I have not had much rest this weekend on top of cutting all the shows to air and doing laundry. I still have a mountain to fold that's in the dryer, but I'm almost done. So I'm going to warn you. I'm not sure. It's Nana's birthday this week as well. How convenient. But that means we're going to have to take another little mini road trip for the vacation, which is good. But It means I might not be live all 5 days this week since my dad can't pay for decent internet that can support voice. All right, anyway. That's my little update. Anyway, here, let's start here, and then we're just going to run because we're about 12 minutes into the show. Elon Musk doubles down on universal basic income. He says, quote, "It is going to be necessary." In an interview with CNBC in November, Tesla's CEO Elon Musk joined a growing number of tech executives who are supporting universal basic income as a possible solution to widespread unemployment that automation will likely cause. Universal basic income is a system in which all citizens receive standard amounts of money each month to cover basic expenses like food, rent, and clothing. And on Monday, this is last Monday, Musk actually doubled down on his initial support for the concept. Quote, "I think we'll end up doing universal basic income," says Musk, to a crowd at the World Government Summit in Dubai. We talked about that Friday. I'm not getting into Dubai this time. "It is going to be necessary," he said. But like I said on Friday, if there was ever some writing on the wall, the fact that he was attending a world government summit in Dubai has got to say something about our not-too-distant future. The economic forecast for the next several decades don't bode well for the American worker. And remember, they've gotten us all fat, dumb, happy, and complacent, okay? And now they're quietly chucking the last of the fixtures. Remember, Obama drove away in the escape helicopter with whatever was left. I was joking with my friend the other day, but I could pretty much bet you as Obama's helicopter was taken off for the very last time as he is leaving that White House, I could guarantee you he had a couple middle fingers pointing at the floor out of camera's view as they were pulling away. But, you know, they took everything. We already were joking they had the back doors open. They were chucking it into the van. Well, guys, it's been chucked out, and now they're just sucking the last of it out with a straw. And that is all the jobs. Is they're going to start pin-cushioning us and putting Fitbits on every single one of us. Good old wearables. They've been working on that one for a while. To be able to track back and tag everything you do consume to the point of ad nauseum. The economic forecasts for the next several decades do not bode well for American workers. In March, Barack Obama warned Congress, he's coming, about the looming threat of job loss. That's why he inked that Precision 21st Century Cures Act, Precision Medicine Initiative. They sold us right at the end. Here, take all the jobs, and now you got the American public as your entire guinea pig cage. Based on several reports, they found that as many as 50% of all jobs could be replaced by robots by 2030. And the downside of that projection is that millions of people would wind up without a job, a possibility that Musk discussed at the summit. There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better. Ding. I want to be clear. These are not things that I wish will happen. These are things that I think will probably happen. Executives who have endorsed universal basic income, which is a group that includes the venture capitalist group Y Combinator, President Sam Altman and Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, also say that automation would dramatically increase society's wealth. And that's how they keep trying to convince us to step right up for this. It's going to be the land of plenty. We won't have any wants or needs anymore. They will all be taken care of. And so there's no need for money anymore. Careful what you ask for, because there is always a need for greed. Greed, control, power. Guys, if we're not paying for it in qubits, we're going to be paying for it in something else. probably our DNA. It's going to be some of the most important currency on Earth. With automation, there will come abundance, says Musk. Almost everything will get very cheap. And that money, theoretically, could then be redistributed to give people financial security, even if they didn't work. Like, what planet is he living? So I said, love to hate Elon Musk. I mean, yeah, we're living in La-La-ville if we think giving everybody money across the planet's going to fix everything. But it's part of the plan. And see, I think Elon is just thinking through problems and trying to come up with ways that maybe we could cure this disaster of exponential disruptive technologies, many of them all coming at once over the next few years, to turn the world upside down on its head. But I hate to tell you, you know, we've been waiting for this quote-unquote crash, for quote-unquote revolution, for things all to start falling apart. Well, this, I think, is the beginning of it starting to fall apart. Disruptive technologies, you know, they don't even need to have an economic crash like we had been predicting for all these years. Like, oh, wait, the stock market's going to crash. Well, you know what? That would be real messy. If you think about it, that'd be really, really messy. So for right now, they're just propping that stock market up, keeping the investment flowing, keeping the global economy going, until they're ready to start plugging all these puppies in. And once they plug all these puppies in and they go, whoops, guess what? Here are no more jobs. There's no more money. There's no more anything. But hey, let us just give you cash. We'll just give you qubits. We just turn it on, flip the switch. Look, you got 1,000. Oh, look, you don't have 1,000 anymore because you wouldn't follow directions. I mean, guys, I could see this new control structure being swapped out pretty easily. Not there being much bloodshed. You know, as they feed the masses their soma, they give them legalized marijuana in a whole bunch of states. They give them virtual reality goggles with terabit downloads as 5G rolls out. They give them VR porn. They give them GMO foods laden with all kinds of pharmaceuticals. We were looking at edible vaccines. That's all on the way. We're working on that in our offshore mad science laboratory in India. They only do tobacco here now. But they're still doing food supplies crossing with vaccines in India because, you know, of course, it's hot there. And it's hard to transport vaccines without them going bad. To places like India and the subcontinent of Africa. So they got to come up with ways to put them in things such as bananas and malaria goats. Speaking of, you know, I want to thank everyone who listens to my show and leaves me comments, because I hate to say it, but there really isn't much thanks in doing anything that I do for this network. For people who don't know, I run the whole network, as well as do my show 5 days a week if I can, and cut all the shows and whatever. It's pretty difficult. Lots and lots of work. But, you know, I do this because this is an obsession of mine, this 21st century technology that's going to turn the world on its head. And I got a little kid, and it really bothers me. And the only way that I can really deal with it is to do my due diligence to make sure that people know what's going on, trying to expose a little bit of some of the craziness. But what does make my day is when I get comments. And 99.99% of the time, they are comments that make me feel good or make me laugh or make me think. And sometimes I get trolls, but not often. But I got this one the other day. And when people tell me that they're new listeners, that totally makes my day. So we had a few new listeners over the last few days that accidentally came upon my show. The one girl, and thank you for listening, Danielle. She said she wasn't sure how she got here, but I made her day and I made her laugh. So it was good. But I got one this weekend that the kid said, ha ha, at first I thought this lady was serious, but now I know this was just a joke. I thought this lady at first was just so uninformed and selling fear, but it's cute that she keeps going on and on. Now, I got to tell you, young man, I am not joking, unfortunately, though I like to joke. I do so on TV, but it's only because keeping it light saves us from all wanting to throw ourselves off a cliff when we realize the stark reality of what the future looks like. And I'm not selling fear. I'm selling knowledge. Wake up. Get off the couch and figure out ways to kill nanobots and surveillance drones. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, it is coming. Find a way to kill all robots. We need to use some sort of EMPs or something to take a lot of this stuff out. At some point, look, here's my worst nightmare. At some point, we are going to have some sort of Google self-driving car coming up the street, letting out the Atlas bot. It's going to come to your door to come pick you up. As we have the swarm of the swarm of little triangular drones flying over your backyard to give backup support to Atlas. You know, that is not too far away. A lot of the stuff is already being developed for the military. Good old military DARPA arm. They develop these technologies and then roll them out. And they become commercialized. Hey, by the way, I bought a book this weekend, and Amazon already gave me access to it online in a Kindle version before it gets here. But we listened to a video clip the other day from Lip TV, and most of their channel didn't really have anything to do with this, but they had one great little news clip where the news guy discovered DARPA, it seems, and he was really surprised by some of the things that he had learned. And he had mentioned a book that he had read called The Pentagon's Brain. It was all about DARPA. Well, I found it on Amazon, and I ordered it, and I started reading the prologue through the little Kindle app that they gave me, and I am so excited, guys. This book looks like it's going to be a good one. So I'll tell you what, it's all about the entire history and back end of DARPA. Probably a little bit more than we've ever dug into, because we've just looked at current programs for probably the last 10 or 15 years of their history, but they go all the way back to 1958. So I bet you I could dig up some real, real scary skeletons in their closet. But anyway, back to the comments. This was on one of my videos. He thinks it's so cute that I'm selling fear and going on and on. But I hate to tell you, Johnny, this isn't selling fear. This is trying to wake people up. I spent 25 years in technology, and I have watched this develop in the very early days to where we are now. So universal basic income, Elon Musk, feed us grapes. You know, us feeling useless because there's nothing for us to do, but don't worry about it because they will keep us healthy and happy and give us our nutraceuticals to keep us quiet while wearing our Fitbit. Well, this is something, don't get off the beaten path here, Jewel, but this is a story that came out of Heather Callahan's publication, Natural Blaze, from the other day. Article written by Andrew Boyd from the University of Illinois, Chicago. And we have talked about this very thing. Well, here we go. Could your Fitbit data be used to deny you health insurance? I warned you. As we start becoming items, objects, on the Internet of Things, that's exactly what is going to happen. Bag, tag, and surveil 24/7. Not only of us, but of our entire environment. Wearing a fitness tracker device could earn you cash. And this is how they're going to start it. Dangling carrots from your health insurance company. At first, this sounds lucrative for people who participate and good for companies who want healthier insurance customers, but it is not quite so simple. Now, I know that a lot of programs right now offer incentives if you join the gym, right? If you join the gym, they'll give you a $200, you know, kickback or whatever to get healthier and help you on your insurance. I've seen quite a number of my friends who have jumped on board, and that's all great. I mean, I went on my health kick there a few years ago and did my core exercises every day and drank my super greens before I did it. Quit smoking. By the way, I have a patch on. I did a show Friday with no smoking, and I'm doing a show today with no smoking. Not going to say I went smoke-free all weekends because it was a little stressful. I had to kind of cheat a little bit in the evening. But I'm back on it today. Boy, did I feel like crap again this morning. But you know what? Getting on a health kick is one thing, but you got to be doing it for the right reasons. Do it for you. Don't do it for the health insurance kickback, because it's setting a very disturbing precedent. They are able to manipulate you with dangling carrots very easily. Don't take the next dangling carrot. Do the health and fitness because you want to be healthy and fit for your family. You want to be healthy and fit for if anything goes awry with society and you need to walk 100 miles carrying 100 pounds to get to safety. That was my motivator the last time. I think I need to do it again. But don't do it because they're offering you $1,500 if you wear a Fitbit 24/7 and give your data to the machine. Remember, all that data is going to be used against you, even your internet searches. I've warned you for a long time. There was a big story that came out about that the other day. Every search you have ever made on Google, even if you thought it was private, may not have been. Uh-oh. Yeah, we knew. We knew it was coming. Anyway, wearing a fitness tracking device can earn you cash from your health insurance company. And at first, this sounds lucrative for people who participate and good for the companies who want healthier insurance customers, but it is not quite so simple. Under the program, people who have certain health insurance coverage plans with UnitedHealthcare can elect to wear a Fitbit activity tracker and share their data with the insurance company. And the data would be analyzed then by Qualcomm Life, which is kind of weird. Qualcomm makes chips and things for cell phones and probably all kinds of government surveillance gear. A company that processes, so this is Qualcomm Life, a company that processes medical data from wireless sensors for doctors, hospitals, and insurance companies. Well, that was quite a nice little vertical there, Qualcomm. Depending on how active participants are, as measured by the Fitbit, they could earn as much as $1,500 toward healthcare services each year. So, Johnny, if you get healthy and you feed your data to the machine, we will help supplement your super expensive double-digit increase healthcare cost. You just got to give it up. Give up your privacy. Give up your data and start teaching Dr. Watson. See, the machine needs data input. And the more big data they get, well, the better they get at predicting things. The better AI gets, the better everything gets for the machine. And that is why universal basic income will be allowed to happen. Because even though we think we're useless and there is no more work for pay, your data has become the most important commodity that they can gain from us. As they study all of our data, all of our input, all of our conversations, all of our social interaction and our health and our eating habits, every little bit of that is being fed into the machine now, has been for a long time. But as they run algorithms and all kinds of splicing and dicing against our data, they start to crack all the secret keys. The keys to manipulating us. The keys to the brain. The keys to health. The keys to everything. And I know, it sounds wonderful. We'll be able to live forever. They'll be able to cure all disease like good old Zuckerberg is announcing he is dedicating some of his fortune to do. But he who holds all the keys is he who is in control. He is the one who has the key to lock or unlock that door. And if he doesn't want to give you the keys, He doesn't have to give you the keys. And I hate to say it, but humans are not the most benevolent creatures that have ever lived. Humans are easily manipulated by greed and lust and power and money. They always want to win. We're warlike creatures. That though we do have empathy, there are a lot of us who care just way too much. But for as much as there are a lot of us that care way too much, there are a lot of us that don't have 1 ounce of caring or empathy in their bones, and it's just about them. We dug way deep into dopamine and narcissistic tendencies and this instant gratification society that we have been grooming for the last few generations. We've even looked at fMRI scans and how brain scans of kids who've been exposed to large amounts of, say, video games or anything that pushes that dopamine button over and over and over and over and over and over again causes that section of the brain to get bigger, because dopamine is one of those drugs that is the addiction center in the brain. It's one of those drugs that when you get a little bit, it feels good. But the next time you need a little more to feel just as good, if not a little bit better. And it continues on in this endless cycle. That is the section of the brain that also interacts with things such as cocaine and sex and gambling. Yeah, rock and roll even. It's the good area. The brain has got to be utilized in the proper way. And see, DARPA and a lot of their brain research has been looking at that section of the brain chemicals, how to manipulate them, all in the name of fixing soldiers with PTSD, soldiers with traumatic brain injury, soldiers that are going into the battlefield that might be having last-minute reservations. Whoops, we need to push that button, make sure Johnny keeps going forward. They have been experimenting with a lot of that stuff and have learned how to manipulate and control brain chemicals. Now, we've also discovered that the gut and the brain are very tightly connected. And those gut flora can be responsible for the makeup of brain chemicals that happen to be coursing through your brain at that time. And you know, when we started talking about some of this newfangled gut bacteria that I ran across that happens to be in foods that were never necessarily healthy, that all of a sudden say, now, with probiotics, raise an eyebrow. There is something really fishy about this newfangled, and it really isn't newfangled. I mean, they found this Bacillus bacteria in a salt crystal 250 million years old down in the WIP facility at the Carlsberg Caverns in New Mexico. So it's not a newfangled bacteria, but it's a bacteria that forms a spore so it can live through any type of hostile environment, including radiation and boiling water, without dying till it gets to a dark, warm, moist place like, oh, I don't know, your intestines or a salt cavern in a radioactive dump facility in Carlsberg, and live for a very long time until it starts to germinate. And then when it germinates, all of this research that I was reading about this bacteria growing in a gut, because they've been researching how to do this for quite a number of years now, 16, 17 years, shows that it replaces the current bacteria. That is disturbing to me, especially if you've been working really hard with something like Lactobacillus and that other one, the other good. Lactobacillus and Bacillus are two separate families, by the way. Bifidobacteria. Those are some of the good ones in your gut for healthy digestion, healthy absorption, healthy brain chemicals, so you're happy and not depressed. But guys, what worries me is as they crack all of these secrets on manipulating and getting us to follow dangling carrots as they pretend to be the Pied Piper taking us someplace with unicorns and rainbows. I hate to tell you, but it's almost like we are going down the yellow brick road to the Wizard of Oz. Because when we get there, just like Frank Zappa said, when it's over, they're going to pull the curtains back and put all the chairs up, and we're going to find that it was all a stage and there's just a brick wall. There's probably going to be scary robots all lined up behind it to come take us away. And I know it sounds like I'm joking, but hey, little Johnny listening, I'm not joking. All right, anyway, you can get as much as $1,500 in dangling carrot dollars to give it up to the machine. Currently, right now, as part of United Healthcare's insurance coverage plan. Interest in wearable fitness trackers is booming, and I warned you last year this is going to be a big thing in 2017. Wearables. More than half the people who already own one believe that their device will help them increase their life expectancy by at least 10 years, even though it's impossible to actually know that because the clinical trials necessary would take at least a decade. But and remember, clinical trials are us. It's going to be everywhere. Step right up. We got the FDA out of the way. They're just rubber stamping it now. And we'll just do clinical trials. Step right up if you're desperate enough. If you're following enough dangling carrots that you don't notice that there's a big cliff right there, Mr. Lemming. Well, hey, step right up because we'll make sure we feed you something that'll satiate you just for a little while longer. Adding free money to the mix, ding, ding, makes this device seem way more attractive. But before we celebrate this new partnership, it is important to consider the potential cost to patients. We are not far from days where wearable health devices will be able to diagnose illness. And not just wearables, we already talked about smartphone apps. There's another big story that came out in some mainstream publication now about, yeah, look, your cell phone's going to be your doctor. We talked about Dr. Smartphone in a whole bunch of shows. While this is not legal right now, if Obamacare were repealed, as Republicans have vowed to do, corporate partnerships like this one, and that would be between United Healthcare and Qualcomm Life Insurance, corporate partnerships like this one, United Healthcare and Fitbit as well, could pave the way for insurance companies to use fitness tracker data to deny coverage or, ding, hike up rates on consumers. There are positive elements to pairing wearable fitness trackers with your health data. Of course, an existing flu treatment medication works best when administered within 24 hours of the onset of symptoms, but it is difficult to catch the flu so quickly. So a Fitbit could make this much easier. If the device measures a sudden decrease in the number of steps you are taking per day, perhaps also an elevated resting heart rate, well, that could signal the presence of a virus. And if the insurance company has access to that data, well, then it could send a message to the patient, ding, if that person was really feeling poorly, rather than just deciding to watch TV all day or got snowed in or eating Cheetos. They could be directed. And how obnoxious, people going to be flushing that Fitbit, go see your doctor. They could be directed to go to their doctor or to an urgent care clinic to be able to see a health professional quickly, get an effective treatment, and be on the mend sooner thanks to that Fitbit data. Yeah, no thank you. This ability will only increase in the future. And like I have said 10,000 times before, for this and all of these disruptive turn the world on its head technologies, this is only the beginning. We need to realize that. Think about the first days of the Commodore 64 and fast forward 20 years. The world of the Commodore 64 in 1982 compared to the world in 2002 was a way different place. And I'm not going to say that disruptive technology turned the world on its head, we were still working on that law of exponential returns. We were still working on not being bound by the confines of computing power, by the confines of storage space. And now with cloud computing gives us basically unlimited storage on demand, unlimited computing power on demand. We have supercomputers all over the globe working in conjunction with each other. If you can pay for it, you can get it. There's nothing stopping us now. And things are getting exponentially faster. And we have quantum computing that is waiting out there on the wings. There's some insanity that is about to ensue. We have seen nothing yet. Mark my words, we have seen nothing yet. There are more than 20 clinical trials using Fitbits underway right now, studying the role of activity in treating pediatric obesity and cystic fibrosis, and even how it can boost chemotherapy's effectiveness and speed in recovery from surgery. And as those studies are published in the next coming years, researchers and doctors will get even a better idea at how to identify signals of specific diseases in wearing devices data. Ding-a-ling, it's the All of Us program. That's exactly what they're asking you to do. Step right up. Give us your DNA swab. Put it into the electronic health records. And let us track, bag, and tag everything you do so then we can use you as a research subject. Similar efforts include one to detect influenza with a portable heart rate monitor. Other researchers are analyzing, ding, ding, your voice and speech patterns, like I said, to reveal neurological disorders and mental diseases, and are using, and listen to this, I never heard about this before yesterday with the story, and they are also using calls that you make to your health insurance company as their data source for analyzing voice. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. So when you call now and it says, this call may be recorded for quality assurance and training purposes. Is that what they mean? Is that what they're doing with our voices now? This is pretty frightening. And every time you speak now, they'll be able to run it through some sort of analyzer and make a diagnosis about what? Your mental health, your physical health, and probably many other things that we don't yet quite know about. Even eye tracking software could measure cognitive understanding, which could help identify early signs of dementia. Detecting symptoms earlier through Fitbit data could allow faster, more effective treatments. Wink. Here you go, Johnny. Eat your new banana nutraceutical. It'll fix you right up. It's frightening to me. It's frightening that we have all these mad scientists chomping at the bit who want to start integrating things such as synthetic biology into our bodies to bring this human 2.0 evolution around. It's called human-directed evolution, all in the name of living longer, being healthy, cutting costs, and becoming this big, happy, global society where we get rid of carbon. We try and fix the environment by letting new, never-before-seen organisms go to re-terraform dangerous places. I mean, we heard the DARPA lady talking about that. We were going to experiment on Earth first before we tried to terraform Mars. Push a button, create life. This biggest push, though, is coming from Qualcomm, which has now offered a $10 million prize to the team who can develop a specific type of multifunction medical device without involving a healthcare worker or facility. Again, more high-paid, white-collar jobs that'll be out a window. The device must be able to accurately diagnose 13 health conditions, including pneumonia and diabetes, and it must also be able to capture in real time 5 vital signs, such as heart rate and breathing rate, and process that data locally. This global competition is now down to finalists, and the winner will be announced early this year in 2017. This could bring wearables insights then to doctors and to insurance companies much, much sooner than we might think. Wearable data can definitely be used to help patients, but it could also be used to harm them, particularly in light of recent political developments. With the passage of the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, insurance companies were barred from denying coverage to customers who had pre-existing medical conditions at the time that they signed up for insurance. But if that rule is lifted by Republicans in Congress, insurers might look to wearable devices for evidence that they could use to refuse to pay for a patient's health care. And I also told you, we discovered something a long time ago, that because Obamacare was passed as, I don't remember exactly what the rule was, but it wasn't passed as a health care program. It was passed as some sort of other program that then went through the IRS with tax payments and whatever. But because of that, it was not under some sort of law that protected consumers. And it allowed their data through a loophole to be potentially available to life insurance companies who could potentially, by law, be allowed to discriminate against you if they saw something in your genetic code. You gave up your DNA to the machine. In your genetic code, that could predispose you to a future cancer, let's say. Let's say you had the BRCA gene. You didn't know, but it showed up in your DNA swab from 23andMe that you checked that box and said, yeah, use me as part of the All of Us program because I want to help the world sing together and cure death as a disease. Yeah, you thought you were doing good, but you actually passed your data over to be spliced and diced. That data could potentially be used against you in the future to deny you life insurance because, look, BRCA gene, that means you got an 89.99% chance you're getting breast cancer, and that's a bad financial gamble for us. We're not going to give you life insurance. Sorry, Johnny. You can get cremated in the plain cardboard box, the cheap one, and then stuck on that little island off the coast of New York City for people who don't have money for a funeral. I don't know. I think those are unknown people put on that island. There's a horrifying island off the coast of New York. There's all these unnamed graves everywhere. I was reading this story about it a couple months back. It's pretty scary. I never knew about that before. Living in New York, I don't live in New York City. I live in the other end of the state. But still, you would think if there was some island loaded with lots of unnamed dead people in your state that you probably know about it. This is the first I'd ever seen it. All right. Anyway, this development where there could be loopholes and have insurance companies get access to your records and give them the ability to deny you coverage could have enormous consequences. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, oh, that's what it was, that Obamacare wasn't going to be included as a part of Medicaid, and that original law was a part of the Medicaid plan. So now it's not any part of health insurance, so it isn't protected by that law. According to the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, as many as half Americans have some sort of condition that could be used to exclude them from coverage, such as asthma, cancer, mental illness. And might insurance companies ask prospective customers for their Fitbit data in addition to or in lieu of a physical exam or laboratory test? Well, if that provision of Obamacare were repealed, could insurance companies set rates based on what that data shows or deny your coverage entirely? Well, I'm going to say probably, yeah. Car insurance companies are already using similar methods. And I mentioned to you, a friend of mine has a loved one whose company vehicle already has a black box. And they track, bag, and tag. And if you go over the speed limit or go where you're not supposed to, they're going to know about it. Some insurers provide their customers with devices to install in their cars, measuring your driver's behavior and calculating the risks involved, as well as the rate you're going to pay for coverage. At this moment, the algorithms connected to activity tracker data and health conditions are still under development, but they're coming along pretty damn fast. And the biggest thing UnitedHealthcare would need is a large data set of customer Fitbit measurements so it can link them to insurance claims. And its new cash for data program, ding ding, will begin to assemble that information. As insurance customers signed up to use the Fitbit and get extra cash for sharing their data, United would be able to match their Fitbit measurements with any health condition identified in their medical records. And over time, the company could build up enough information from, say, oh, I don't know, people with asthma and people without it to be able to tell asthma patients apart just by looking at their data and not by going to see a doctor. The company could do this for other common diseases as well, or even adapt the algorithm from the contestants in the Qualcomm competition. It is unclear what the company would do with what it learned, but one possibility is that when evaluating a prospective customer, the company could then look at his data and know all about any of your pre-existing conditions that might mean a person does not get insurance or has to pay extra for their coverage. The financial power of the health insurance industry, and I'm going to say the drug industry as well, is enormous. And just think about this one. This is my own postulation. Not only could they get more for health insurance or deny you insurance altogether, but they could give you an ultimatum. Look, Jenny, we got this new fangled clinical trial and we're trying that could fix your dementia or that could fix your asthma. We just need to flip a few switches and do this little gene therapy thing with a pill, smart pill. All you got to do is take it. And if you take it, Johnny, then maybe we'll consider giving you back your health insurance. Guys, I see this as pushing this envelope. You know, we questioned a year or two ago how anybody would be willing to step up for nanobots in their blood. I just saw a story this weekend, another primetime story about, yay, nanobots are coming to our blood to cure cancer. I mean, it's been out there, legions of nanobots delivering payloads of chemotherapy directed to targeted cells. Well, this is rolling out mainstream. 2017 is the year they unleashed it all on the human race. And no, little Johnny thinking I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. This is all for real. I went to his YouTube channel and he looked like quite a youngin'. So he doesn't quite understand the full world view of what is happening currently right now, I would assume. Would people be able to object if insurance companies required customers to wear fitness trackers or other monitoring devices just to be eligible for insurance? And would new patients provide access to past Fitbit data that it collected? Couldn't an insurance company consider it fraud if a user did not wear their device, like you took it off and gave it to your 10-year-old? They're like, wow, that is the healthiest 50-year-old I've ever seen. It's kind of like having to take a piss test and getting Aunt Susie to piss in the cup. If used and regulated, well, these devices could help individual patients change their daily habits to become healthier, of course, to save on insurance company money and passing some of these savings along to customers. But alternatively, these devices could provide justification for denying coverage to the inactive, to the unhealthy, or boosting your rates, or, of course, denying altogether. And consumers should not assume, or, like I said, making you a prime candidate for offering a clinical trial. Customers should not assume that their insurance company will only use their data to improve patient care with millions of dollars on the line. Insurers would be sorely tempted. And with the legal landscape around pre-existing conditions in flux, people right now, today, should actually think twice before stepping right up and giving it all to the machine. And you know what? Yeah, I'm going to tell you where I just saw nanobots in your blood. It was RT News. At a story, cancer-fighting nanobots could revolutionize healthcare. Except I don't have Skype right open right now. Skype was sucking all my resources and took my whole machine down this morning, so I had to kill it on this machine. But we're going to see. We're going to see here. Let me see if I can log in. Let me see if I can log in. But I think we're getting near the end of the show, so we'll do that one tomorrow. All right. So here we go. Smartphones, this is in phys.org, could revolutionize medicine. I guess I'm not going to get to anything I plan to get to today. Smartphones are revolutionizing the diagnosis and treatment of illness thanks to add-ons and apps that could make their ubiquitous small screens into medical devices. They are showing a mom holding a smartphone up to a kid's open mouth, putting a tongue depressor down on their tongue with the camera right up to their face, clicking a photo for Dr. Smartphone. If you look at the camera, the flash, the microphone, they are all getting better and better, says Shwatik Patel, an engineer at the University of Washington. In fact, the capabilities of these phones are as great as some of the specialized devices that are out there right now, he told the American Association of the Advancement of Science annual meeting this week. Smartphones can already act as pedometers, count calories, and measure your heartbeat. But mobile devices and tablets will become tools for diagnosing illness. You can use the microphone to diagnose asthma, COPD, he says. And enabling these technologies, you can also manage chronic diseases outside of the clinic and with a non-invasive clinical tool. And remember, in the 21st Century Cures Act, they had also talked about non-invasive neuromonitoring. This is going to get scary, people. If you put a finger over the camera flash, it gives you a result that shows your level of hemoglobin in your blood as well. And an app called HemaApp was also shown to perform comparatively well as a non-smartphone device for measuring your hemoglobin without a needle. Smartphones can also be used to diagnose osteoporosis. Just hold a smartphone, turn on the right app, and tap it to your elbow. Your motion picture sensor picks up the resonances that are then generated from your elbow. And if there is a reduction in your bone density, it will know and tell you if you have osteoporosis. All right, guys, have an awesome Monday, and I will catch you.